This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So climate change is in the news, of course, especially with a hurricane bearing down on Florida or the Carolinas or wherever else the hurricane is going to make landfall, if it makes landfall. And climate change being in the news, bad for the Democrats. Amazingly, Politico nailing this story, how climate change could tear the Democratic Party apart. Now, you wouldn't think so, right? You wouldn't think, because you would think that that would be the one thing that they're rallying on these days. They're all united. They're rallying. This, I love this opening paragraph here. It's first day of school. Clearly, we're all back. The kids are going back to school today, or maybe next week in Jersey, but depending on where you are. But either today or next week. This is the first article that opens with this. Elisa Slotkin has learned that climate change is both a national emergency and a political opportunity. As an assistant secretary of defense under President Barack Obama, she helped lead the Pentagon's first study of how climate change threatens U.S. military bases. Then as a Democrat candidate for Congress in 2018, she attacked her Republican opponent for questioning the scientific consensus on climate change. And that's one reason she's now a Democrat member of Congress. But even though she has shown how the climate change crisis can be a winning issue, she's not on board with the most prominent progressive effort to make it a national issue, the Green New Deal. Backed by her more famous House classmate, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this congresswoman from Michigan, she thinks it's too radical, too polarizing, and a gift to President Donald Trump and other Republicans who want to portray Democrats as socialists. Quote, my district is very worried that Democrats are lurching to the left. I know AOC's face will be on every ad against me in 2020. Now, this is important because Michigan, obviously, is one of those states. Again, it's one of those states where it's a battleground state. It's not must win in my book. Pennsylvania's must win. But I'll get to that in a second. So this congresswoman here who's, you know, she's pro. She believes in climate change being man-made and she wants to do something about it and everything else. She doesn't see why a plan to fix the climate needs to include promises like universal health care and a federal job guarantee. And she doubts a lefty wish list. This is Politico's words, not mine. A lefty wish list disguised as an emergency response that will play well in her suburban Michigan swing district. Okay? Now, I've long said to you, and some people have said that I'm a nut for saying this, but I'm not. It's the truth that really what climate change is under the context of government action is it's a way for them to advance a lot of very socialist economic ideals under the guise of the climate. There's an emergency. We got to fix the climate. So as we do that, let's have worker justice, this justice, that justice and everything else. Justice. It's all under that umbrella of that. It's not that. See, and then you get labeled a climate denier. And I'm not saying that things aren't changing with the climate. I'm just simply saying that I don't definitively believe that the SUV you're driving is responsible for it. And B, I don't know what legislative fix costing trillions and trillions of dollars is going to do anything about it. I'll give you an example. When I was down in Chesapeake Bay this week, Cape Charles, Virginia, beautiful place. What a great little town it is. And I wanted to keep it a secret, but it's not even a secret anymore. It's almost like like if you bought there 10 years ago, you would have been a very, very smart person. But of course, we didn't. We never do, right? You never do buy when you should buy. If we did, that'd be something. Anyway, Tanger Island is an island that's not far off there, and it's sinking. It's sinking into the bay, as other islands have done, have sunk into the Chesapeake Bay. And I was reading this book when I was there, called Chesapeake Requiem or something like this. And it's all about how climate change is destroying Tanger Island because it's sinking into the bay. And it's first of all, you got to understand something. It's a pro-Trump island. Everybody on the island, there's only like 450 people or something. They're all huge Donald Trump supporters. They're Trump flags and Trump stickers. They're devout Christians. They're absolutely very, very much on board of the idea that, yes, the bay is rising and, yes, this is a change, but they're not on board with the idea that necessarily people did anything to cause it. And the reason for that is because they've seen other islands and they know other islands and their people have talked about other islands that have also been covered up by the bay before anybody even got behind the wheel of a Hummer or any other SUV or any other climate change causing, quote unquote, climate change causing device. They've just seen it. They've lived it. They've spent their entire life as watermen on the bay, just going after blue crabs, especially the delicious soft shell kind. So good. The greatest. And they've watched smaller islands just be taken over by the bay because that's what happens. And they get it. And it's happening to their island, too. What they don't do is they're not running around and suggesting that if everybody right now puts the keys down to their cars, they can reverse this trend. They know that they can't. They know that eventually, based on the trajectory, they're going to have to probably pack up and go. And they understand that. And they've asked the state for help, and they've asked the government for help, help in the context of being able to have better barriers for storms and things like that. They also know, though, that it's coming. They talk about how watermen, crab guys, who put out their crab pots, which are cages, but they call them pots, drop their crab pots into the bay over what used to be trees, you know, big trees that would come up to the, that would shade a house, for example, on older islands around the bay, islands that in the, say, 1850s were prominent thriving communities that are now completely underwater. And so for the watermen who were there in the Chesapeake Bay, as they're getting these delicious crabs, which I just can't get enough of. I just love them so much. They're so good. And there's a lot of them, by the way. There's just a lot of crabs. It's great. So good. But they understand, though, that this is just the way the bay is rising. And the bay, but also the bay goes back, too. It recedes a lot of times. It recedes a lot. And sometimes you can walk out really, really far. And that's just kind of how it is. And what people who are in the media, and a lot of people who are on the pro climate change, we got to do something, we're all going to drown in 12 years bandwagon, don't understand. They don't understand how these people on this island in the bay off the coast of Virginia, it's like 12 miles, 16 miles, don't bother telling me the accurate number. I don't care. I can Google it. But it's you have to take a ferry there from another town right off the coast of the eastern shore of Virginia to get there. It's the only way to get there. There's no roads, no bridges in or anything like that. They're all in on Trump, and the media can't understand. They go, what's with these people? Why don't they understand climate change and that it could do something and they could? And the biggest reason that they give whenever they people in the media actually bother to go talk to them, because they look at them as a bunch of freaks. They do, really, truly. They if you ever read about how they portray the people of Tanger Island, they portray them like freaks who are all inbred. Because they've all, it's essentially the same community for the last 400, there's for like 450 people, and they're all kind of related. And I mean, maybe the gene pool isn't that wide, I don't know. But they write about these people like they're just from, I don't know, the way they portray them makes me sad. They have their own language, they say, and they do all this and everything else. But really what they're saying is that they're idiots who don't recognize the truth of what's happening to their island. Of course they do. They see what's happening. They just don't buy the same theory as to why it's happening because they watched it happen before we were ever spewing things into the environment to cause those other islands to be under the bay, which are now places that they crab. And they also support the president because the president does not want socialism. And they don't want socialism either. They just want to go and be left alone and put their crab pots in the water. And here's the other thing they want, too. They want to be able to live their life according to their very Christian values. They're very Christian on the island, very Christian people. They are pro-life, they're pro-God, they're pro-same-sex, pro-traditional marriage, and they just don't want in any way, shape, or form any of that to change. And people look at that and they can't understand that, so they go, huh, you got these rednecks on this island with their backwards language and they're all inbred and their island's flooding and they don't see. They don't see what's causing all this, and they don't want to do anything about it. And you contrast that with this Michigan congresswoman who does believe in man-made climate change, but she doesn't want to be all in on the Democrats' plan because she looks at it as really just a way for them to advance all kinds of socialism. All kinds of socialism under the guise of saving the environment, saving the climate, and then turning back the tides of the rising seas. You see? And this is really the problem for Democrats. And this is something I think people don't get. They don't get it at all. Even people who recognize that there are changes happening to the climate are not all in on the idea that the only way to do something about it is to have a massive, massive federal government spending package that also then includes all these other socialist things for everybody else under the sun, including your right not to work. And not just watermen who are crabbing off the Chesapeake Bay, but also Democrats like this congresswoman in a swing district in Michigan. And this Politico article really nails it in that sense. You know, you can be somebody who says, I don't think the climate's changing at all. You can be somebody who says, I think it is, but I think it's not anything that we're doing. You can be somebody who says, maybe it is something we're doing, but there's really nothing we can do about it. So what are you going to do? You can fall in one of those three camps. But there's the fourth extreme camp, which is, yes, it's changing. We've got 12 years left. Oh, and by the way, we need universal health care. Oh, and by the way, we need guaranteed wages. Oh, and by the way, we need guaranteed this, and the other thing. And you see how far those two, it could not be further. It could not be further apart, even among Democrats who believe in climate change. And so now you get into the 2020 presidential election. And they look at this little island in the Tanger Island. They look at it, they go, wait a second. So you mean these people here, they're all in with the president, even though their island is supposedly sinking into the bay. And they go, yeah. I go, why? Well, because he supports their religious liberty. And they go, I don't understand. Exactly. You don't understand because you don't go and talk to him. That's why. And then they look at Democrats like this Michigan congresswoman and they say, wait a second, you're not all in on the Green New Deal? And she says, no, I'm not, because I'm going to lose my seat in Michigan and Democrats are going to get killed because this is so kooky and nutty. And even constituents that believe in man-made climate change don't want anything to do with this. But then you get to the MSNBC and you get to the media and you get to the candidates who are the front runners. And what do you hear all of them say? We've got 11 years left. We've got 12 years left. You had one guy at the last debate say, it's too late. Pack up and go. It's too late. We've already missed the boat. I mean, literally, you better jump on the boat because it's too late. So the major presidential candidates are all saying the most extreme things on climate change. And this is the problem for them. There's no pragmatism left on the issue. And this congresswoman says it in the article. She says, quote, I'm a pragmatist and I represent a lot of pragmatic people. We say we need massive social change to reduce emissions. How does that build consensus? And that's the Joe Biden problem. And that's the Pennsylvania problem. And that's why I don't think Joe Biden can, A, win the general election if he's the nominee, and B, I don't think he can become the nominee. And it's all because of this. And it's all because of how it plays in Pennsylvania.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.